In that speech today at the Virginia Military Institute, Mitt Romney said Iran is supporting the Assad regime in Syria, so the U.S. and others should be arming the rebels fighting that regime to deliver a defeat to Iran. The Guardian newspaper said that sounds like a call for a U.S.-Iranian proxy war, but there are other questions. The U.S. is already joining other countries in helping to arm the rebels as they take on President Bashar al-Assad's tanks, helicopters, and fighter jets. The concern is, will heavier arms fall into the arms of extremists and give the Syrian regime ammunition in their argument that the violence is being carried out not by rebels seeking democracy, but by terrorists? The conflict is spilling over. Syria and neighboring Turkey have been exchanging artillery fire for more than a week. Let's check in with the BBC's James Reynolds, who's in Turkey. And James, you've been on the border with Syria. What's the feeling there?
It's pretty spooky on that front line, on the row of houses overlooking Syria. A lot of people don't live there anymore. They fled their homes. You get to see the huge Turkish flag on the Turkish side of the border. And then if you look a few meters across, you can see the Syrian flag. It's actually a flag which shows that that border position is loyal to the opposition. In other words, the opposition grabbed it a few weeks ago. But a little further on in the villages further into Syria, we're told that the government is still fighting for control.
Well, you said, you used the phrase front line. You say this feels like the front line in a full-out war.
It does feel like a front line to the people there. And if I can paint a radio picture for you, on that road there is a tank with Turkish soldiers standing in it, and its sights are pointed towards Syria. Two mortars have landed in that particular area since Wednesday. The first killed five members of the Timuçin family who were sitting having dinner or lunch at the time, and another landed in scrubland on Sunday. So you have mortars falling. You have military deployments. You occasionally hear shots in the distance. It does feel like a front line.
Well, then weigh in on the debate over who should be behind this battle. We hear a call for more arms going to the rebels. Those five Turks you mentioned killed by a Syrian shell last week. The Turks say the shell was made by Russians, who have been accused of arming Assad's military. But we understand that just enough arms are going to the rebels from either the U.S. or other countries in the region that support the rebels to maintain a stalemate. The call is for bigger arms to go to the rebels. What's the fear?
The fear is that with more arms, there will be more deaths. And that was a fear articulated by the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who said that he was very worried about the possibility of more arms being filtered through the Turkish border into Syria itself. Of course, the rebels would say that if the world is calling for the fall of Bashar al-Assad, the only way that that fall will come is if the rebels are properly equipped to take on Bashar al-Assad's army, which still has warplanes and artillery, and broadly the rebels have AK-47 rifles.
And the fear isn't just on the part of the Obama administration that these bigger weapons, if they're sent to the rebels, might fall into the hands of terrorists. Others have that fear as well. But your BBC colleague Ian Panel talked to a rebel leader who said that the longer the conflict remains at this sort of stalemate, standoff, the more likely it is that more powerful radical Islamist groups will come in.
There is real frustration inside Syria among the rebel groups with the lack of ability by the West to help out, and that actually those who will be increasingly doing the fighting may have more radical tendencies. So if Bashar al-Assad's government does fall in the end, the fear would be that those who take over are not necessarily sympathetic to the West or to a lot of countries in the region, because they will have felt that those countries did little to secure their liberation from their point of view.
So a concern that whoever takes over in Syria might not be sympathetic to or appreciative of the West, but on the other hand, a fear that if those bigger weapons go in, they might go into the hands of terrorists who wouldn't be sympathetic to the West anyway.
Yes, I think that really illustrates the difficult choices faced by almost everyone in this particular conflict. It's been going on for 19 months now. The rebels have found that there is no immediate way to victory, that if Bashar al-Assad continues to have powerful supporters from abroad, Russia and China in particular, then he will be able to maintain his military force. He will not perhaps be able to defeat the rebels, who have a lot of motivation and increasingly some degree of territory, but they will strongly believe that if they don't have the weapons, they can't finish the job.
The BBC's James Reynolds in Turkey. James, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Okay. Have you been transfixed this summer by that beautiful orange butterfly, the monarch? Wonder where they go in winter? Well, up next, the terrific story of the scientists and the citizens who found out. Here and now.